would like to welcome each and every one of you that are here. We're very happy that you're here. And once a year, we have chosen to sit down and go over numbers, and then we want to communicate those numbers with you so that you have a little bit better understanding possibly of what's happened in the last year and what we're looking forward to in the following year. Numbers are tricky things sometimes. If you try to put too much into them, they can cloud your judgment, I think. But I think it also, if you do not pay attention to numbers, we obviously are destined to repeat history sometimes or do things we don't want to go to. And we have decided it's very important for us to do this and look at these numbers, and we do so. But we also want you to know what's going on here, and we're thankful that you're here with us this morning. I know the other two feel similar the same way that I do, but we appreciate and take it very serious the responsibility that we've been given to watch over the souls at this place. I don't know that you'd want to know how much time we spend together and the things we discuss all the time, but if you were around us and knew how often we talked and the things we talked about, that I think you'd feel a little bit more comfortable that we are very concerned and very serious about the jobs we have and the responsibility. I know for me, it scares me half to death, and I think we have to take it seriously. But my part this morning is to go over the numbers with you, if I can get it to work. There we go. We're going to look at last year, this year, and everything that we put together. My job and part of it is to look at the statistics with you, and that's basically the numbers that we have to look at or tell us a lot of things about what's going on. We want to look at membership, we want to look at attendance, and then we also want to look at the personal work groups that we began this last year. First, membership statistics. We do try to look at these for specific trends and things that are going on, and if there are trends, maybe there's things that we need to pay attention to and look at. Obviously, baptisms. In the year 2012, we had four that were baptized. In 2013, we had three. This last year, we had two. And obviously, I think we've already gone over that number this year, which is beside us, and we hope things will continue to grow and be well there. The restored, in 2012, we had three that were restored to faith here. 2013, also three. And then in this last year, 2014, we had one. Those who have moved in 2012, we had six. 2013 was a big year for us. We had 23 folks move in and place membership or start to worship with us here. This last year, we're back to six that we've had here. So other than a little spike, it's somewhat consistent, but it just kind of depends on what's going on at the time. Those that have moved away, those that have gone other places or moved away from us. In 2012, we had 18. In 2013, we had 7. And then in 2014, we had 22 this year that moved away from us. We kind of see a reverse cycle in those that have moved in and those that have moved away from us in those years. But are things that we look at and things we consider and talk about quite a bit. Passed away in 2012, we had four. In 2013, we just had one, and this year we also had one that was Sister LaVon back. But also, always very sad to lose members, and especially those older that have been working with us for a long time and doing things, but not necessarily especially, but that's what we had this last year. And then left the Lord. In 2012, we had four that left did not want to serve the Lord anymore. 2013, we didn't have any. And this last year, 2014, we didn't have any. So those are good numbers for us to look at in that statistic at that point. So the total changes for us here at Olson Park. In 2012, we basically lost 18. 2013, we gained 20. And this last year, we've lost 17 of the members here. Attendance is one thing that we do look at and we try to use to kind of spur some of our communications or our calls for people. We got a 4-year trend here we're looking at. Classes in 2011, we averaged 127 on Sunday morning. In 2012, there's 129. 2013 was 120 on a weekly basis. And then this last year, 2014, it dropped down one to about 119. That does have somewhat to do with some that are coming in or those that are leaving, but also we like to look at the attendance and be sure things are fairly consistent. Our 8 a.m. Classes on Sunday, not classes, but our 8 a.m. Attendance here at worship service. 2011, we averaged 150 on a weekly basis. In 2012, it was 146. 2013, we dropped down to 139. And this last year, we've held strong at 139, or the same as we had in 2013, although I kind of figured that was dropping just because of the numbers that we look at and wonder about, but it held true there. Evening services on Sunday, 2011, we averaged 119. In 2012, we averaged 115. In 2013, 111, and this year it was 106. So we are starting to see a little bit of a trend of dropping off of those who are here with us on Sunday morning, but then on Sunday evening, our numbers are down a little bit. There are some things to understand there. Obviously, we do have a group of people that we've got several older individuals and Christians, and during the winter when it's very dark, not everybody likes to drive, and we understand that, and understand that to be an acceptable reason. So it's just the numbers that we're looking at there. Wednesday night, our Bible classes, we averaged 116 in the year 2011. 2012 was 117. Last year was 110, and this last year that we had was 111. So somewhat consistent, but it was consistent with last year. 1 work groups, we started this past year. I'm not exactly sure the year. Was it 2013? We actually started in September or October of 2013. In 2014, we continued our 3 personal work groups, meeting once a month in members' homes. And we've had a lot of excellent feedback from people that attend these. They enjoy the lessons. They enjoy the opportunity to get to meet people. Obviously, we cannot watch over each other or do things to help. Or this last week, the lesson that we were talking about was bearing each other's burdens. And if you do not know somebody's burdens or don't know what's going on in somebody's personal life, it's difficult to do. But the personal work groups seem to be working well, and most people that we talk to enjoy it. We would like to have a little bit better attendance, or at least I would, and the groups that we have, but you've got a lot of things going on there when you're asking somebody an additional night during the month, but they have been well received. We have good participation as a whole, and we see that there is growth in God's Word and our love for each other, and that was the original intentions of most of those for meetings, so we're happy about that. We have changed groups this last September. And our plans are at this time to reassign new groups again in September with the new school year. And that seems to be the way that we look at that and want to work this process. And that is the data on our numbers. I'll let Jeff talk to us about our finances.
Concerning our financials, before I get into financials, I'll take just a minute. These are two of the finest men I've ever known, and have never seen anybody more concerned about the souls of individuals than these two gentlemen that I have a privilege to serve with. And I want to thank them for their hard work and their dedication for the Lord. Our financial report and budget. I want to see the the averages here, our contributions, weekly contributions have been fairly steady over the last 4 years. We have seen the last few months, though, we have seen some decline. Now, these numbers up here on the board, which are week before last and last week, are not really reflective of some of the figures that we've seen, and I'm sure everyone else has seen. The contribution has been down in the $3,400, $3,500, $3,600 range. So as we're setting our budget for the following year, you know, we're having to take a look at most recent numbers to try to be reasonable about what our expectations are. We're blessed to have a congregation that's very giving, very generous in their contributions to the Lord. And we recognize that, and we appreciate that. For 2014, we had total contributions of $217,000. As a side note, we had the roof insurance claim. I don't know how to back it up.
Back button on the computer will get you there.
There we go. Sorry, guys. A little trigger happy there. We had an insurance claim of $52,000. So the total expenses included that insurance claim. So our actual total expenses were about $220,000, contributions of about $217,000, which means that our fund balance, our cash in the bank at the end of the year versus the beginning of the year was down about $3,000. Our bank balance at the beginning of the year was $68,000. End of the year was $65,000. So there's our loss of just under $3,000. Funds used to preach the gospel in 2014. We have those gentlemen that are working with us on a local basis, Brother Pope and Brother Dow. Brother Dow as will be here for another roughly 6-7 months. Is that right, Andrew? He didn't bail on us early. And anyway, we're happy to have these two gentlemen, and that's as far as our local work, where our funds go. Funds used to preach the gospel in 2014. These are men that we have helped to support. We've got Brother Palomares, who preaches in Dumas as well as in Amarillo, a Spanish-speaking gentleman. Brother Jim Blackman, who we have supported for a number of years. We ended his support in December. Jerry Vinson, who's now a member here, we're pleased to say we had supported him up through June of last year. Thomas Morris in Springfield, Missouri. He moved from Springfield, no longer there, and his support ended in November. And Richard Thedford in Denver, Colorado. We continue to support Richard Warren Schultz in South Africa. And Derek Chambers in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Tim Stevens is from the Kemp, Texas area. Tim is now holding a lot of singing schools, and we started supporting him, I guess, last year, continue his support. So for as far as those men that we helped to support, not Kyle and Andrew, but the gentlemen elsewhere, support for 2014 was $30,300. And committed for 2015 is $18,400. We get requests for to help support gentlemen, I don't know, twice a month at least, I would say, just a guess. We had 2014 gospel meetings. In the spring, we had Brother Melvin Curry. In the fall, Brian Haynes. And 2015, we have Roger Schaus scheduled for the spring, and Brady Cook will be here this fall, and we look forward to having Brady with us. So we're able to help, we're able to schedule these gospel meetings twice a year, and hope to be able to continue to do that. This last summer we had a summer study. It was our first year, and we had really great participation by our Bible class teachers, the people that helped to organize and provide material and to teach. Really did an outstanding job and had a lot of positive comments about that. And we plan to continue that. You know, we have that budget in our budget for this next year as well. Preachers from the area, they participated during the three nights in the adult part of that study, and it was good to have them, and I know they enjoyed it. So for the coming year, our budget is $192,000, just a little below what it was, what our actual expenditures were last year. So that comes out to $3,705 a week. We didn't know until really a couple of weeks ago what our budget was going to need to be. If y'all remember, we had Brother Sean Lynch that was here from the Washington, D.C. area. We had offered him a position of the next preacher trainee, if you will. And he just let us know a couple of weeks ago he will not be accepting that position. He and his wife and four children really couldn't make it work financially. However, we're pleased to say that we're going to assist him, not in a great big way, but we're going to assist him with some study materials and whatever assistance we might be able to provide him during his continued training. And we wish him the best. Thank you.
Excuse me. Please open your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I want to echo what Jeff said. I count it an honor to work with these gentlemen, and I admire so much their commitment to the Lord and their love for the saints at this place, their love for souls, and I count it an honor to work with them in this effort. Well, as we have just looked at some numbers related to our statistics and related to budget and some things related to the contribution, I don't think there's one of us that would not recognize that in many respects this has been a tough year for us here at Olson Park. We have lost some members, and we are saddened by that. We also have faced some struggles. You know, there have been times in which, even among ourselves perhaps, we have had some difficulty in working through some things. We've had some times in which we have faced discouragements. Now, I hope that we don't look at the previous year and see it as if everything that has happened is bad. There have been a number of good things that have been a part of the previous year. We have grown in faith and in love and in determination. Sometimes even going through difficult things and working through those things can be something that gives you great resolve. We have made some progress in terms of, as I said, when you work through some difficulty and come out on the other side, you're stronger as a result of that. And we've also kept faith, not only faith in our Lord, but I think those of us here at this place have a faith and a confidence that we can do what the Lord wants us to, and we can be pleasing and acceptable in His sight. You know, one of the problems, though, when you do have a difficult time, and this is true whether you're talking about a congregation or you're talking about families, is a consequence that sometimes happens as a result of tough times is you can become so focused on your own troubles that you lose sight of things that are outside of yourselves. I say that from a very personal standpoint. I think in my own life, I have found myself over the last couple of years focusing so much as a preacher and an elder on this problem or that problem and trying to take care of this that I don't know that I've really looked outside that much, particularly in terms of some things related to souls that are in need of the gospel. There are some statements that have been made along the lines that I appreciate a great deal. Abraham Lincoln said, "To ease another's heartache is to forget one's own." Gandhi said, "The best way to forget yourself is to lose yourself in the service of others." And I think there's great wisdom to that. Whether you're talking about personal service in terms of helping others, or that ultimate service that we as Christians can offer when it comes to trying to spread the gospel to a lost world. You know, when we look particularly at the fact that our numbers are down a little bit and we've lost some members, how is it that any church may grow in number? Well, I think we recognize, as we noticed from the statistics a year or so ago, we had a number of people that moved into the area. And that's a wonderful thing whenever that happens. And we rejoice. We recognize we have very little control over that, don't we? We can't have control over what jobs there are, or we can't have control over people's decisions to move. It can be as well that the children of members are obedient to the gospel. And that's happened here recently. And we certainly rejoice when that happens. Sometimes when there are changes in the number in a congregation, it is because Christians have left another congregation. Now, I recognize that there may be times in which that is an important thing. If one recognizes that a congregation is not sound in its practice, they may have to make a decision that they will leave that congregation and go to another. When you're talking, however, about congregations that are sound, there's an expression that's sometimes referred to as sheep stealing. And that is the idea where one congregation tries to kind of get members from another congregation that's sound, and that's just not a good practice. I know that there are times in which that happens, but I don't really think that honors the attitude and the spirit of the Lord. However, I think one of the ways that we recognize this is taught in Scripture for churches to grow in number is for there to be new converts under the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't think there is a Christian who does not wish that there were some way that they could share the gospel with others. But I don't know about you, but so often that it comes down to how exactly do you do that? I ask you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and I'd like us to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. Here is the Apostle Paul talking to this church that had had so many troubles. One trouble that seems to have been that they were dividing among themselves. Begins chapter 3 by talking about to divide among different teachers and to say, "Well, I'm Paul," or "I am of Apollos." He says that's something that's carnal and that's something that ought not to be done. But I want us to notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 through 7, the Apostle says this through the Holy Spirit. "Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one?" And notice, he says in verse 6, "I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase." Now we recognize that when all is said and done, ultimately, we as Christians must realize that obedience to the gospel and the spreading of the kingdom in number and souls being converted to Christ must be attributed to God for the increase. However, I think it is clear from this passage, when it describes what Paul did, what Apollos did, we as Christians have the obligation and the responsibility to plant and water. Some months back, in thinking about some of these things and thinking about, well, how do you begin to look beyond your own trouble and to look outside and to try to figure out how it can be that you move beyond difficulties and have a hopeful attitude of growth, focusing on how to spread the gospel to those in the community around us. I began talking with the other elders here and presented a pretty formal proposal. I haven't done that very much in the time that I've been here, but I actually put together a little handout and gave to them and presented this as an idea. And they have accepted it, and we are moving forward with it. This next year, in 2015, Olson Park would like to set as our goal and our focus or our theme the idea of planting the Word.
working to spread the gospel in Amarillo. And one of the ways that we want to try to do this is not just kind of abstract and not just sort of as a goal that we don't have a focus on and some way to go about it. But we're going to put forth a specific approach, a specific type of program that we're going to try to implement to give members here a way in which you can have resources, a way in which you can have opportunities to try to share the gospel with your friends and neighbors. And it's through a process that focuses on a number of different things. Now, as we tried to conceive of this, I had the opportunity a week or so ago to go down to some lectures and to hear some people talking about different ways they've gone through evangelism. And we've tried to take some of the best ideas of many different approaches and to try to blend them together into a program that is a series of Bible studies, but not just like typical Bible studies. Some ways in which you have literature and you have flyers or tracts or invitations, but not like anything that we've seen before. A way in which we have some material that can be utilized, that members can draw upon, but not exactly like handouts that we have seen before. A way in which we can have follow-up and we can maintain records to try to pursue studies individually with people, but not just like the way we've used handouts or we've used visitors cards before. What we want to do is focus on 12 basic ideas. I had an opportunity sometime back where I submitted to some members here just a kind of a question. If you were going to talk to someone about obeying the gospel, what do you think they would need to know and understand? And we put together, and I drew from some of the suggestions that were offered, and I put forth a couple of ideas or a few ideas based on 12 kinds of things that I think the prospective convert might need to know. And I geared them in connection with a provocative question that would not be threatening, but would stir up some interest in study on an issue. First of all, for example, the existence of God. How did I get here? Secondly, the reliability of the Bible. Is the Bible really from God? And kind of as a side note with that, should it be the standard that we follow? Is Jesus the Messiah? Asking that question, who was Jesus? A lot of people may hear about Jesus, but do they understand the role that He played in fulfilling prophecy, the role in God's plan of redemption, the need for salvation? You know, a lot of people in the world may believe in Jesus, but do they really understand why it is that He needed to die? A lot of people may imagine and feel like they have been obedient to the gospel or they've been saved, but what about the biblical steps of salvation? How were you saved? Challenging them to really consider whether they have been saved in accordance with the biblical pattern. The identity of the church. Where is the church that Jesus built? You know, it's not uncommon to, if you really press people, they can't say that some particular denomination is found in Scripture. If that's the case, then where is that church which Jesus built with His death and His sacrifice? How do we worship God? How do we worship Him in a way that's pleasing? What is the organization of the church? Who's leading your church if you are not a member of the church that is a part of the New Testament? Or if you just follow whatever kind of organization is offered to you, does it match the pattern? Is Christ divided? This problem of denominationalism. So many don't even recognize that it is an issue that runs contrary to Scripture. Faithful service. Once you're a Christian, what then? What do you do after you've been baptized into Christ? What comes next? God's plan for the home. Does God care about your family and about your home? Is there a way He wants your family to operate and to function? And then finally, the day of judgment. What happens when you die? Now, if you have these 12 different things that would be important for a new convert to come to know and learn, you ever notice how difficult it is, if you've ever tried to do anything like this, to get somebody to commit to 12 studies? It's awful difficult. It's hard to do. But what this program will do is it will utilize a method that has basically three parts. The first part of these is what we refer to as some contact materials. For each of these 12 subjects that would be important to study, we're going to have a provocative flyer to elicit responses and attendance to a special study or further study. So let's say you've got a friend that you are talking to about any one of these 12 that we have been considering. There will be a flyer that you could give to them that has study material in it, but not enough to overwhelm them, just to provoke their interest. And there will also be a study that they are invited to in connection with that. Or if they can't do that, then, as we'll see a little bit later, there are some electronic resources that they could look to where they could go through and study this subject on their own and then make arrangements for an individual study, perhaps. These will be available for members to give out to use in their personal studies. But also, we're going to try to make an attempt to offer mass distribution of these in the community. And we're going to call on members, if you would, to help us as we put these in people's doors. Maybe it doesn't have to be something in which you're trying to knock on somebody's door and have a long conversation with them. If that happens, that's fine. But if you can offer this invitation to them, that leads to the second part, and that is special first principle studies. Each of these 12 ideas are what we could describe as first principles. And what we want to do is we want to have a series of first principle studies that will be scheduled once a month. Now, you may think of this and you may look and you go, well, you know, we've already got so many things going. We've got personal work groups and we've got gospel meetings that come up. These are not studies that we are expecting every member of the congregation to come to. These are first principle studies that we are offering either for members that are engaged in study with a prospect, or for those that we've given this first contact material to. They are invited to these particular studies. Now, one thing that's going to be a little bit different about these is it's not going to be at a set scheduled time. You're talking to someone or someone gets an invitation. Everybody's schedule's different. Maybe you're a stay-at-home mom and you can't do anything in the evenings, but you might be able to work out something where you could come to the building some afternoon. Maybe you work a 9-to-5 job and you've talked to a friend that's at that 9-to-5 job. One month it may be at 6 o'clock on a weekday. Maybe someday it'll be on a Saturday. So if you've had a busy week, you could come on that Saturday. So 12 lessons each month will be at a different time. One lesson per month at a different time. Now, what will these lessons be? We're not talking about something that's going to overwhelm anyone. We're not talking about something that's going to threaten anyone. Although we are going to deal with the meat of these issues. We're going to try to present in a very simple way these principles to try to lead people to come to understand the truth of the gospel. And each of these opportunities, we're going to try to provide follow-up opportunities. Let's say that we can't get somebody, and don't misunderstand me, I don't expect everybody in the community to come to all 12 of these. I don't expect every member here to come to all 12 of these. But if you get somebody to come to one, and we can try to pursue some ways in which we find out what they need to study after that, or what they might like to study on an individual basis, a one-on-one basis, we use it as a way in which we can spur those additional studies. The third part of this is the actual printed material itself. We will make this available, and it's going to take some time to put together. So it'll be a little bit before we can get the first one started. And eventually, as we have all 12, maybe you look down the line and you go, well, this one that's coming up, number 5, is what I'm studying with this friend right now. You can go and have that. We'll have these things available. We'll have it set up where there's a rack that these lessons will be available. So this material will be available not only to try to get somebody to come to the study on that subject, but you can study it with them yourself. And this will provide the full content of what will be covered in that 45-minute study that will be done at the building. So if you want to study it with them on your own, you can do that. They can study it on their own. And this will provide In addition, you know, by the time we've got this all out, there will be resources that will be there and available that you as a member can use anytime with anyone that you happen to be studying with. So that first contact material will have content. That printed lesson will have content. And I want to mention something else that will be a part of each and every one of these things. And that is, we will seek to promote involvement in additional personal studies. How many of you have seen these little crazy looking things that you see on different products that you may buy? You know, Andrew kind of helped me realize some things about the value of these. This particular one, I was able to program and put together. If you took out your smartphone and you scanned this little object, it would take you to this website, which is the Olson Park website. We will gear this where the individual studies. We're in a technological world now, and you've got people that are on their phone doing all sorts of things. If you can translate that into opportunities in which they can come to learn and understand the gospel, it may be a way in which we can reach some that we might not have been able to before. This will also provide follow-up opportunities that we're going to try to do. Now, what is this going to require on the part of members? You may say, well, I've got enough in my life. You know, I don't know if that I can do this. Well, you can help in this in whatever capacity you choose to. There are a number of ways in which you think, well, I don't know that I could set up a study, or I'm not good at talking with people. Well, maybe you could help in the production of material. You know, we haven't set for sure a number that we're talking about each month. We've talked about 500. We've talked about 1,000. If we put together 1,000 first contact materials for each month, that's 1,000 that need to be printed. Need to be folded. What we'll probably do is put a little sticky thing that will have the date of that particular scheduled study, and that may change. So you can utilize that in the future, even though that date for that study is passed, but you can still use it. We need people to help with putting those things together. We need participation in the mass distribution of first contact flyers. We're going to figure out a system where maybe we'll have a map, and there's a way you can mark on that map when you've got time, you and your family went and did that. Or maybe it's just your street where you live. You put some down that street. Imagine if we're talking about something, and understand, I don't for a moment imagine that by doing this next year, we're going to convert all of Amarillo. But I'll tell you what, if we converted one, would it not be worth it? If we converted two, would it not be worth it? And I can't help but believe that if we plant and water 1,000 a month, and in addition to that, you've got folks you're talking to that you are working with, will there not be opportunity for God to give the increase? Absolutely. There will be opportunities in which you can personally invite people to these studies. I realize that if they're scheduled at different times, maybe one won't be as good for you. But work with me, work with Andrew, work with the elders, or work with others, and maybe we set up an individual study on that subject with the person you're talking to. Offer support to the study. Now, I realize that I said a moment ago, I don't expect every member here to be at all of the studies. You've got work or you've got obligations, but it will be helpful if we can have some of our members that will come for those studies. Simple first principles lessons. Maybe it's something in your own life. You'd like a little bit more grounding on those specific areas so you can know how to talk to someone else about it. You're not going to be overwhelmed. You're not going to have to worry about some friend that you invite being beat over the head. We're going to look at the elements of the gospel in as clear a way as we possibly can. But then we'll also have this material available for personal use with independent study with prospects. Now, one of the last things that I want to mention to you in my part this morning will be done. What will help this succeed? One of the reasons that in our adult Sunday morning class we've begun looking at what might seem like a rather unusual subject, the subject of hope, is because I think, given the fact that we have had a little bit of a difficult year, it is important for us to regain hope. It is important for us to have a hopeful disposition in our service to the Lord. And as we begin something like this, it's so important for us not to approach this or any other kind of effort that's made on the part of this local church with a pessimistic kind of attitude. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 10 says, "Do not say, 'Why were the former days better than these?' You do not inquire wisely concerning this." It's easy to do that. It's easy to look back and say, "Oh, it used to be so good. Why isn't it that way now?" The wise man says through the Holy Spirit, "You are not inquiring wisely when you talk that way." We must have hope. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 7 teaches that godly love hopes all things. Maybe we've had some difficulties, but do we have that hope that offers the promise that it can be better? We need to. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10, in comparing the sowing of the Word of God to farming, Paul there teaches that the one who plows and threshes does so in hope that he might be a partaker of his hope. Now, the context is talking about material support of gospel preaching. But I think inferred throughout that is the idea that that planting, that watering is done in hope. You know, if we have an attitude as we approach this that says, "Well, you know, that won't work." Or we say, "Well, nobody out there cares about the gospel anymore." I don't think that's the attitude we need to have if this will succeed. Again, I don't have unrealistic expectations. I don't believe for a moment that we can change the world, but the way in which individual hearts and minds and souls are changed is when individual Christians will plant and water. A second thing, though, that will help this succeed is patience. Patience. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 10 through 11 teaches, "For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." Now this relates to both hope and patience. Because if we truly believe that there is power in the Word of God, if we are willing to simply sow that Word, if we are willing to plant and water that Word, we can be assured that it will accomplish exactly what the Lord wants it to accomplish. But understand, if we begin this process, don't imagine that it won't be a difficult process. I heard a gospel preacher say a number of years, "If you want to grow, get ready for troubles." And I think there's a lot of wisdom to that. Because think about it for a moment. If we are successful in getting some people that have not been obedient to the gospel before, that are new converts to Christ, that come out of a background perhaps in which they had no faith whatsoever, or a faith that was steeped in religious error, will there be things that they'll have to grow in? Will it require some patience? Absolutely. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." Hebrews chapter 5 teaches that when someone first comes to know first principles, they're not fully grown then, are they? It describes them as a babe. A babe needs help. A babe needs patience. And we, if we are going to be successful at this, need to have patience with the process, with the effort. You know, planting the Word, we can't expect that everyone is going to respond to it. We've got to be patient with that. But we've got to be patient with the efforts that are made when, in fact, one does respond. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 through 26 says, "And the servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will." The very last thing I think that is absolutely essential, if this will succeed, is a love for souls. Proverbs 11, verse 30 teaches, "The fruit of righteousness is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise." In Luke chapter 15, verse 7, the Lord there tells us there is more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. I believe the Lord is pleased when, in fact, His people worship Him and serve Him in a way that is pleasing and acceptable. But the Lord is also pleased when those that have never been obedient to the gospel come to obedience to the truth. If we, having learned the truth, have that possession of the gospel, the truth, and we just keep it to ourselves, we are not demonstrating the kind of love for lost souls that we need to. And brethren, I want to submit to you, it's time for us to, let's look beyond our own problems. Let's look to that lost and dying world that stands outside of these doors. Let's do what we can to commit ourselves from this point on. I'm not saying we ignore any difficulties we may have. We work through them, but sometimes we will work through those things by looking outward and by trying to help people grow, by trying to help people come to the truth. And may God help us as we do that. If you're here this morning and you've never been obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ, we haven't talked about obedience to the gospel other than the fact that we've been talking about how we can try to help souls around us come to obedience to the gospel. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, would you not put your faith in Him? Would you not confess Him before men, repent of sin, and be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins? If as a child of God, you've not been faithful to the Lord, would you give us the opportunity to pray to God on your behalf? If we can help you, won't you come? While we stand and sing.